to our third week now of Esther, and I've really loved reading through Esther and just seeing some things in there that I haven't always seen before. And I guess, like I said the other week, one of the things that I really like about Esther is that there is this man, Mordecai, who really, to me, is the hero of this story, because Esther did not do what she did on her own back. She did it because she was encouraged by someone else. She did it because someone saw a situation that needed changing. She did it because someone was able to speak words to her to help her find her finest hour. And girls, before we get started this morning, can I say, encourage one another? Your words may be the thing that helps the person sitting next to you find their finest hour. Your words of encouragement, your words of criticism may be the thing that stops them finding their hour at this point in time. So let's be women who speak words of encouragement to one another. The more I see of the world around us, the more I see the need for women to encourage everyone, but especially women, to just be who God's called them to be. So the first week we looked at the four characters. Do you remember we had, there was the king, and there was Haman, who had some less than positive attributes. And then there was Esther and Mordecai, who had some really positive ones. And last week we looked at Esther, and today we're going to look at Mordecai. I'm wanting to bring to you some things that may not be particularly, you might think, oh, that's a bit odd, but actually it's not. It's actually there in the book. Some of the things that Mordecai had as part of who he was as a person. The book, when you read it, only has bits and pieces about Mordecai, because like any book, the characters come and go. Pam was talking about reading books before. I always read the first bit and the last bit, because then I enjoy the bit in the middle much more. Some people just really like that suspense thing. Honestly, girls, I'm just over it. I'm just get to the end, and then right now, how does that work out? Much more interested in it then. So, don't expect me to, unless it's a really, really, really interesting book, to read it from start to finish. Just not going to happen. Live with an open heart is my first point today. Mordecai, in the book of Esther, when you read in chapter 2, it says that he took Esther on as his own daughter when her family died. So remember, they're in exile. What we know of Mordecai when we read through the book is that he was the grandson of a man who had been taken into captivity. So he'd grown up in exile. But as was the Jewish custom of the day, and is still the custom in many countries around the world, when a family member dies or the children are left orphaned, they were taken into the home of somebody else in that family. And that's not always a pleasant experience for people. But for Esther, it was, because Mordecai loved her as his own daughter. He was actually her cousin. We don't know whether it was a first cousin or a distant cousin. It just says a cousin. We're not really sure. But he was a cousin of some sort. He was obviously a fair bit older than what she was. But it says he loved her as his own daughter. And so I want to say to you this morning, girls, live with an open heart. Mordecai had an open heart to accept into his family situation somebody else. An open heart. What do I really mean? Well, for us, what does that mean for us today? It may actually mean inviting someone else to live in your home. It may mean that, but it may not. It may simply mean opening your heart to your neighbour, to care for your neighbour. Opening your heart to the elderly person down the street who doesn't have anybody around them. Do you know what? He ensured that Esther had a safe place to grow and to develop into the woman that she was to become. And I think we have an opportunity in our lives to provide a safe place to help other people in our lives grow and develop and to become the person that God's called them to be. You know what? In Hebrews it says, Hebrews 2, 1 to 4, says, "My friends, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance." See, when we have a closed heart, we judge people. We judge all sorts of people. But when we have an open heart, we don't care what people look like. When we have an open heart, we care about people because they're people and because God loves them as people. And so have an open heart. The Bible also says that we're to offer hospitality to people and that some have even entertained angels by doing so. Hebrews 13:1-2 says, keep on loving others. Remember to welcome strangers in your home. A word of warning, I'm not saying open your door to any strange person that turns up on your doorstep. That's why we have wire doors with locks on them, girls. So I'm not saying just willy-nilly go open your home to any old person, but what I'm saying is have an open heart to people. Open your home to people who are in need. Open your home. In that day, there were people moving around in the Christian faith who were actually reaching out to people. And the Bible is saying, open your homes to other people. Open your homes. Open your homes to people who are in need. I haven't got the reference for you today, but it says, you know, invite people in your home. And don't invite them just because they can invite you back. Jesus specifically said, invite people that can't invite you back. Show hospitality to people who may not be able to reciprocate, but you can show love and care to them. Are there people in your life that you can give guidance and direction to? Are there people that you can reach out to? We can so easily become closed, girls. We can so easily become closed. And church is no different to the, in many ways, where people can become closed. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. I don't for one minute believe that we should just have our little groups of friendship and us three and no more. We should always have an open heart. This is our church home. This is where God has planted us. This is where we belong. And strangers walk through this door. How do we welcome them? How do we make them feel like this could be a place that they could make home? Do we make our home a safe place for them to come into? When we invite our friends to our homes, we don't expect them to injure themselves. Unless, of course, they're 19 months old and they run around everywhere. Kids sometimes do. But when we invite people into our homes, don't we make an effort to make sure that it's a safe place for them? You know what? God is asking us to do the same here. A safe place where people can be safe with their emotions. A place where people can be safe to express how they're feeling to somebody else and not be ridiculed for it, not be laughed at for it, but be loved and encouraged to embrace God and to embrace everything that God has for them and to move forward. Open our hearts. Open our hearts. James 1:27 says, what God the Father considers pure and genuine religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their suffering, and to keep them from becoming corrupted by the world. Isn't that interesting? Orphans and widows are vulnerable and can be corrupted, sometimes through no fault of their own, by the world. It's like people get caught up in human trafficking. They're orphans and widows in many ways, getting caught up in the world. And we need to encourage the people that come in. We need to look after the people that come into our lives so that they don't get corrupted by the world. Titus, in his book, in chapter 2, has this whole section on how the older women are to teach the younger women. And I've just taken a couple of snippets from that whole section, but can I encourage you to read the whole lot? Because it talks about the older women encouraging the younger women to make their home a place that is a place of love and care for their family. And it's really, really important that we understand that our home is to be a place of love and care for our family. In the same way, instruct the older women to behave as women should who live a holy life. They must teach the younger women what is good so that no one will speak evil of the message that comes from God. There is a reason for us girls to be reaching out and teaching other people. We need to make sure we know what God's message is. We need to deliver it in the right way. But we need to teach people how to live God's way so that God's message goes out the right way. So that God's message is heard clearly by people. So that God's message is known. Our world is crying out for people to do that. Our world is crying out for people who will be brave enough to move out of their comfort zone, to embrace others, to reach out and include others in their lives. Are you brave enough, girls, this morning to reach out? Are you brave enough to take hold of someone else and say, let's do life together. Let's encourage one another through our life. That's why we have life groups, surprise, surprise. Encourage and help one another and to be accountable and to move forward in our lives. It's not so that we can go there to, and it's great to have a chat, but it's not so we can go there and tell everybody how awful our world has been. It's so we can come together and love one another. So we can come together and encourage one another. It's so we can come together and say, there is a God in heaven who loves you and wants you to move out of this situation and move forward by following him and by doing what he says to do. You may not know a huge amount, but I bet you know more than someone. I reckon there's probably, if you looked around, someone that you know more of God than they do. And there's someone that you can speak into their lives. There will be someone. Determined to be that person. Determined to be someone to do life together. Girls, I am not talking about the mutual misery club. The mutual misery club went out of fashion about 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for us, right? Mutual misery club is not on. But love, encouragement, care, compassion, all of those things, yep, let's do that. Let's spur one another onto good deeds. Let's encourage one another. Spur one another onto good deeds. The second thing that I noticed about Mordecai, not only did he have an open heart and invite someone into his home, but he lived with integrity. He lived with integrity in the face of very difficult circumstances. In Esther, Mordecai would not bow to Haman. Now, I know, what's wrong with a little curtsy or what, you bow to the queen, whatever. That's not the kind of bow we're talking about here. In that day and age, they were to bow down and it was in a sense of worshipping that person. The kings were like gods. Their high officials were considered people to be worshipped. And Mordecai said, I will only worship God. I will not bow down and worship other people. In doing so, he got the back of Haman up and he was also putting his life at risk because he was going against a commandment of the king who had said that they should bow down to Mordecai. There's a couple of things that I want to raise here. The first one is let's just think about the authority thing first. I want to get this straight because this is not a reason to flaunt authority. What this was about was not worshipping someone other than God. The Bible says that we are to live and honour those who are in authority over us. It says that we are to be people. In Romans 13:1-7, there's a whole list. But it says that we are to obey authorities and to live in peace. The only time in the Bible you ever see anybody going against that is when they were asked directly to stop doing what God had called them to do, or when it was an issue of bowing down to somebody other than God. They were the only times they ever overrode authority. So girls, this is not Mordecai not bowing down. This is not an authority issue. This is an issue of who he's going to place first in his heart. He lived with integrity and he placed God first in his heart at the risk of his life. He placed God first and he refused to bow down. If you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when Brian and I were very early on, before we had Liz, so it's a long time ago, we were part of a musical, and those of you who are old enough will remember the old musical of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego lived in Judah a long time ago. They had funny names and they lived far away. And they set an example we can follow today. I practiced that one a fair bit, you'd suspect, wouldn't you? But do you know what? It was the same for them. They honoured authority except when it said, bow down and worship something other than God. Daniel, bow down and worship someone other than God? No way. He would bow down and worship God. And when they said, you can't bow down and worship God, he said, I'm going to bow down and worship God. The disciples were told they couldn't go and spread the gospel. They said, God told us to go and spread the gospel. So we're going to go and spread the gospel. They're the only cases in the Bible, and they all have to do with people living their faith before God in a way of integrity that says, I will not bow down to anyone other than my God. So that's the background to this. But what I like about Mordecai is he lived what he believed, even when it was really, really hard. Integrity is one of the biggest issues that people struggle with today, because we live in a world where compromise is so easy. We live in a world where stuff just happens around us and it's so easy to compromise our values. So easy. Girls, can I say this morning, let's be women who refuse to compromise our values. Earlier on in the year, we talked about values, and we talked about real values and spoken values. Do we remember the difference? The spoken value is what we say we believe and what we say we would do in a situation. The real value, the actual value we have, is how we actually live and the decisions we make when placed in that situation. So people say, I value truth, but they're happy to give a little white lie if it gets them out of a situation. That's compromise. They don't value truth. They only value truth until it's going to force them to have to make a stand. That is not integrity. Integrity comes when what we say we value and what we say we believe lines up with what we do and lines up with how we behave. I know this might sound a little bit tough, but I think it's time to rise up as women and say we will be women who live with integrity. We will be people who live what we value. It's not worth living any other way. It's just not. It's not always easy. I'm not suggesting that it's always easy. But do you know what? It's in the little things that integrity is built. It's not in the big decisions. It's in the little day-to-day decisions that we make that build our integrity. Integrity is not something that happens overnight or in a week or in a month. Integrity is built over time by making good decisions all the time, by living those decisions out the way you say you're going to all the time. Integrity is when you say you're going to do something and you follow it up and you do it. That is what living with integrity is. Luke 16:10, Jesus is talking. And he's talking to his disciples and the people who follow him. And he's actually talking about money, but he says this: whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. You know what? When you see it splashed all over the news that some politicians had an affair with somebody else, seems a pretty big thing. But do you know what? Their integrity was not lost when they had the affair. Their integrity was lost when they looked at somebody else when they should not have, and in a way that they should not have. That is when their integrity was lost, in that little decision where it said, instead of turning away, they have chosen to look and follow. That is where integrity was lost, not in the actual affair. The actual affair is the culmination of little steps of lack of integrity that get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. People do not find themselves in terrible situations of their own making like that without taking little steps along the way. I haven't got it there for you, but I love the proverb that says that people make their own choices and make their own bad decisions and then blame God. That's the Jill Whalen version of it. But basically what it's saying is people make bad decisions and take bad actions and then they blame God for the outcome. Well, hello, not God. People blame God for what's going on in the world. You know, the stuff that's going on in the world is because of a lack of integrity in humankind in general. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. So let's be women who live with integrity. Mordecai lived in faithfulness and he lived in integrity because he lived what he believed. He chose to stand firm for his faith in the face of opposition. He chose to live his life according to what the Bible said in the face of opposition that said it's okay to bow down to anyone and everything. Bet you there are a lot of Jewish people who bowed down. But Mordecai said, I will not compromise my integrity even if I risk my life for it. Let's be women who are prepared to stand up and live integrity. How do we do it? Well, you have to know what you value. Can't live a life of integrity unless you know what you believe and you know what you value. So girls, think about what you value and what you believe and how you want to live. That's the first thing. And then do it in the small things. in the small things, in the little day-to-day things. Rise above the fear. Rise above the discouragement. Rise above all those things that come into your life and live with integrity in those little things, and you will find the big decisions are easy to make. Do it with the little things. And girls, be sensible about how you act around other people. Do not put yourself in a situation where you compromise your integrity. Just don't do it. See it in relationships all the time. Just do not put yourself. I don't care whether it's financial, whether it's sexual, whether it's whatever it is. Do not put yourself in a place where you can compromise your integrity. Just don't do it. Just don't go there. Because if you do, it will be disastrous. And you will spend the rest of your life paying the consequence for it. So don't do it. If you're interested in finding out about what happens, just ask anybody who's done that sort of thing, and they will tell you how disastrous it was. Just don't do it, okay? Just don't do it. If you have a trouble with alcohol, just don't drink it. Like, duh. Just don't do it, okay? Just live in integrity. Live in integrity. The third thing that Mordecai did, I have to rush through here because I'm running out of time, but he stood against injustice. He stood up against injustice. He stood up for the Jews when they were going to be annihilated in Esther chapter 4. He said, I am not going to allow this to happen. I am not going to allow my people to be destroyed. He didn't just say, oh, too bad, that's fate. Oh, tough luck, it's always my lot. He didn't go, oh, gee, everybody's always trying to kill the Jews, here we go again. No, he said, this is not what God wants. This is not the way humankind is supposed to behave. I am going to stand up and make whatever difference I can. And then he looked for how he could do it. That was hard, wasn't it? Decide to make a difference and then look for how you can do it. He knew that he had to do that. Do you know what? There are lots and lots and lots of causes in this world that really just need us to stand up and say, I will not allow that to happen any longer. I will not allow my friend to be abused any longer. I am going to stand up and make a difference. I will not allow people to traffic kids anymore. I am going to stand up and make a difference. I will not allow my neighbor to live in isolation by herself. I will stand up and make a difference. Girls, we have lots of stuff at City Life Church that are part and parcel of who we are, where we have said as a church, we are not going to allow this stuff to continue anymore. We are going to stand up and make a difference. We are not going to allow people to live without the knowledge of God. We're going to stand up and make a difference. We're not going to allow injustice to happen in this world. We're going to stand up and make a difference. Girls, get on board with the program. Get on board. Do whatever you can. And do you know what? If you've got a neighbour who's got, like I have 5 kids, I get so challenged by that so many times because she talks more than I do forever and ever. I mean, I actually sometimes have to carefully encourage her to leave my house and go home to her own. And so I sometimes get into the, and that sounds really awful, but sometimes I get into the, hi, how are you? I'm just moving. So I don't actually have to engage it. But do you know what? Actually, she's a mum. She has 5 kids, 1 with a disability. She just needs people to love her and care for her. And I try, and I do it so badly sometimes. But God is just saying, let's stand up and make a difference. Let's love people in our world. Let's not allow injustice to happen to them. Just let's not. The other day I was just about to go out, and just being me, I was running late, and of course she arrived home exactly at the time I was leaving, and I was just working out how I could get in the car, and I thought that was a bit horrible, so I spoke to her. No, God was convicting me. She just needs people in her life to love her, people to look after and care for her. She really is a really lovely person. Let's not be people. Let's not take the Jill Whalen way out. Let's not be people who try and avoid other people. Let's be people who encourage and love and stand up for injustice that we see around us. You know? If kids don't always get this, but if kids in a playground stood up for the kid that was being bullied, bullying wouldn't happen. If we stand up in the workplace when we see people being bullied, bullying wouldn't happen. It's as simple as that. Do you know they say that more bullying happens in the workplace than happens at schools? Scary, hey? But if people just stood up and said, we're not going to allow this to happen, we'd change. What difference could we make in the world if we said, I'm going to stand up and make a difference today? I'm going to do something today to make a difference in my world. Micah 6:8 says that the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love and live in humble fellowship with our God. We know what's good. We know what's right. God's shown us. Why don't we do it? Psalm 82:3, defend the rights of the poor and the orphans. Be fair to the needy and helpless. Rescue them from the power of evil people. That's our role, to rescue others from the power of evil people. Girls, can we do it? Yeah, because we can. We can do it. We can do it. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, there will always be some Israelites among you who are poor and in need. So I command you to be generous to them. There are always going to be poor people, and we are to be generous to the poor. We are not to say, oh, tough luck they caused that they got themselves in that way, and, you know, who cares? No, let's care. Let's stand up for injustice. There's stuff all around. There is just stuff all around. I wonder what would have happened if Mordecai hadn't stood up. I wonder what would have happened if Mordecai hadn't stood up and said, I'm not going to allow this to happen. What are we allowing to happen, girls? Because we sit back and do nothing. What are we allowing to happen? Let's not allow it to happen anymore. The fourth thing is that Mordecai lived in faith. The interesting thing is that he said to Esther, if you are not able to do it, God will find someone who will. Don't know where it'll come from, but God will do it. Well, there's faith. They're just about to be annihilated. He's done what he can do. And he says, I have faith in my God, who even if you're not going to get off your butt and do it, sorry girls, even if you're not going to stand up and do it, God will bring someone to do it. But girls, how much better to get on board with God's plan? We have this huge opportunity before us. And we can say, I'm going to have faith in God to make this happen. And maybe it will be our finest hour as women. Or we can choose to not have faith in God. God will make it happen. But we might choose someone else. How sad is that, to allow the opportunity that God gives us to go? Because we don't have faith. Let's rise up in faith. Mordecai had faith. We know this verse. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Mordecai had faith in what he could not see, but he knew God wanted to make it happen. God is able. You know, he seemed in an almost impossible situation. An almost impossible situation. Here he was, caught between his people being killed and being trying to do something, and Esther, who at first wasn't really wanting to do it. Almost impossible situation. But he says, you know what? God will make it happen some way. Let's have that faith in our lives, girls. I don't know where the answer's going to come from. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know where whatever it is that your need is going to come from. But God will do it some way, somehow. That he will do it. God will do it some way, somehow. Mordecai was confident that God would act. He was confident that God would act. You know what? We serve a God who is able. We serve a God who is able. And it is about breakthrough. You know, Hebrews 11:6, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that God exists. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And do you know what it says? That he rewards those who seek him. God wants to act on our behalf. God wants to act on our behalf, but we live as though he doesn't. But God does want to act on our behalf. Let's place our faith in God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Honestly, I think the saddest thing in life is the opportunity to have something great for God to do and to miss it through lack of faith. To miss it through lack of faith. We have an opportunity to do something great for God. Let's not miss it through lack of faith. As we place our confidence in God, like Mordecai, we'll see breakthrough. Mordecai saw breakthrough, and we're going to be praying for breakthrough. Over the next, well, it's not quite started yet, but over the next 8 weeks, because I tell you what, we're already there for praying for breakthrough. Over the next little while, there's going to be huge breakthrough. But you have a choice to get on board with it or not. My prayer is that everyone, like Ange said before, that every single person in our church will engage with breakthrough. But the truth is that there will probably be some that don't. And that is so sad, because they are missing a huge opportunity to see breakthrough in their lives, to see breakthrough in the lives of their family, to see breakthrough in the lives of people around them. And so, girls, today, as we open our hearts and our lives to other people, as we live in integrity, as we just get on board with what God is doing and stand up for what God is doing, and as we exercise our faith, as we do all of those things, where we go, it's just, we could do huge stuff. Like, who knows where it could go? As we do all of that, I really believe that God wants to bring breakthrough into our lives. Yeah, Heather said she's really excited about it. I'm really excited about it as well. But I think this is probably the most exciting thing we've ever done, because it's about other people's lives. It's about seeing breakthrough, not just for us, but for other people. You know, there's stuff that we need breakthrough in our lives as well. But do you know what interests me more? It's actually praying that you guys get breakthrough, because it's actually what God wants. But you have to engage it yourself. You have to make the effort to engage it yourself, because if you don't, you'll miss it. And I don't want that for any one of you. Don't want it for any one of you. So let's engage with what God is doing. Let's live with an open heart, live with integrity, live for justice, speak up against injustice, live in faith, and let's walk it out daily. Reckon we can do it, girls? Why don't we stand and pray? Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you. Father, you place before us an opportunity. You place before us today an opportunity to rise up and get on board with your plan, with your purpose for our lives. You place before us an opportunity to live and walk in faith and love and integrity. Father, I ask, Father, for every woman today, that, Father, that their hearts will be open to breakthrough, open to engage your purposes, open, Lord God. Open to live the way you have called them to live. I really have this strong sense today that God really wants to do some stuff in our hearts and our lives, and he is challenging us like nothing to actually rise up, to make a decision today that we are going to engage with his purpose. Not try and get him on board with ours, but engage with his purpose for our lives. I just have this sense that God really wants to do something great. You know me, I always know God wants to do something great, but I have this sense that God is asking us to step into something that's a little bit unknown for us, to step out, but that God is going to work mightily as we do that. That God is going to work mightily. Girls, if you want to get on board with what God's doing in our lives, why don't you raise your hands to God this morning? Make that decision. Get on board with what God is doing. Yes. Father, you see the raised hands this morning. You see the hearts of these wonderful women. Lord, you have amazing and incredible things for every single one of them, Lord God. And I ask, Father, that today be the first day of their walking out the plan and purpose that you have for their life, Lord God. And Father, some of these guys have been on with your plan and purpose before and some haven't, but Lord, you love everyone. And I just pray, Lord God, that Father, this won't just be a moment now, but that this will be a lifelong walk into eternity where we walk in your plan and your purpose every single day of our life. That, Lord, we would not waste the opportunities that you put in front of us. That, Lord, we would honor you every step of the way, and that we would walk as women with open hearts and women of integrity before you, Lord God, that stand up for justice, Lord God, that stand up for justice, and Father, that put our faith in you, our almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.